Here in Knoxville, there are quite a few churches where there's a lot of differences, not in style, not in if a guy's wearing a robe or wearing a tie or something that's just simply a fashion statement, but in this area here and what we commonly refer to as the Reformation. We commonly refer to this as the dividing line. We commonly refer to this as really a time of separation. It's unfortunate when we say reform now, we mean someone who is one thing and they just become a better version of that, and that's not at all what happened here. We're talking about this idea in church history. We're talking about this idea in America in 2017. We could not be talking about anything any more different. Some of the same words are used. Some of the same phrases are used, but they have entirely different meanings. They have entirely different results. We're talking about this. We're talking about October 31st. Some of you that liked history a little bit, or maybe have even seen a special or two on Discovery Channel or those kind of things, pardon me, you've heard the name Martin Luther. How many of you heard the name Martin Luther? How many of you, I mean, especially you Midwesterners, heard of a Lutheran church or Lutheranism or whatever? Anybody ever listened to Prairie Home Companion on the radio, maybe on weekends, and you caught him, he's making fun of the Lutherans. Anybody? I'm the only one who listens to radio on Saturdays in the car and on, and those kind of things. Well, it all comes back to this one fellow here, and he was a Roman Catholic monk, and he basically decided that they weren't doing the right thing or saying the right things or believing the right things. And so he did something interesting. He wrote out his 95 objections, his 95 theses, and he went and he nailed them to the castle church there in Wittenberg. And he nailed them there and really upset a lot of people. They gave him 3 years to say that he would do things differently. He decided he wouldn't. They brought him into a council. He was so nervous about what was going on. He was supposed to be there the day, or supposed to talk to him. He says, "Please, I'm so upset." It's in his biography. "I'm so upset." He had stomach issues. I mean, you think one of the most famous times in history, and the guy postpones it a day because he's nervous. And he says he begs off and he's miserable the whole night, and he gets up the next day and he's so weak and he's so scared. If you watch it on TV, if you watch the old black and white version of this speech and all, he thunders, but that's not what's recorded. What's recorded is he whispers because he's terrified. He's terrified because they can kill him. And he says, "What do you say about all this?" And he says, "My conscience alone is bound captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other." Now, I like the dramatized version of that. "My conscience is bound captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other." Which, again, he didn't speak in English because he was German, but you know, that's a beside point. And he says this, and he whispers this out. It wasn't the volume of his declaration, but it was the content of his conviction that the Bible alone is where we get our authority on spiritual matters, and the Bible is either true or it is not, and no Pope. And I know that is so politically incorrect. And no authority can do anything or say anything that overrides or supersedes what the Bible plainly says. And for 500 years, the church has constantly course-corrected back to these things. And they're enumerated here. They're called solas. Probably the only time, this is the third year here, this is probably one of the only times you ever hear me use Latin, unless I say "Itu Brute," or "Sig Semper Tyrannis," something like that, something that we are all kind of familiar with here, or, my favorite Latin, "What you doing, Willis?" That'll help some of you who are a little older here. Anybody know where that's from? Different Strokes? Okay. And so we're doing this. So we're going to talk about, let me offer them to you, and I want to explain them to you, and I want to tell you why it matters. Can I do that for you? 500 years, I think it deserves a little mention. Take a couple of notes here. That basically said, this is how we're going to live. This is the difference between us and so many other groups. This is the difference between us and so many others. This is where we stand. Number one, they said that Scripture alone. Said it was Scripture alone. The Scriptures alone are our supreme authority. I will say it occasionally like this. And again, it's important what I say, but it's crazy important what the Bible says. You hear people all the time saying, "Well, I think..." My favorite is "I believe" or "I feel." How many of you know people who make life-changing decisions based upon what they believe, or excuse me, what they feel? People leave churches. They do things. They often jump out into sin. And that's not what the Bible says. And they said, no, it is only by Scripture. Sola Scriptura, number one. Number two, they said it was only Christ. It's only Christ. If you want to come to me for counseling, the door is always open. Some of you, we've got some things lined up, more of you between now and Christmas. I'm okie dokie. I will help you, but I'm promising what I'm doing. I'm trying to point you right at the Bible. I'm pointing you right at the Bible. Every now and then somebody comes, I need to confess something to you. Now, if you've sinned against me, if you gossip against me, if you've trash talked me or Miss Andrea or whatever, you're coming to the right person because that's where you need to come to. But let me help you. If I forgive you of other sins, it doesn't make any difference because I have no power to do that. Nod your head if you're with me here. It is only in Christ. It is salvation is only in Christ. Redemption is only in Christ. I have standing only in Christ. I have justification only in Christ. It is only in Christ alone. Say, that sounds very familiar. I want to help you here. I want to help you. 300,000 people in this county, not everybody believes in what I just said. They don't believe it by a long shot. I can work my way here. I can help out grace. I can do these other things. Sola gratia, by grace alone. By grace alone. If you say I am this plus this in order to be saved, if I'm helping God out, if I'm going to get my life straight and then do this, and it's not by grace alone. What God did was enough. What God did was enough. Now, I go at it God's way, and I follow what God said to do. Nod your head if you understand that. And grace does not exclude good works after the fact. In fact, that's the whole point. God saves me and changes me, so now I can live for Him. But He doesn't ask me to do the other. He doesn't ask me to get all cleaned up so I can be good enough to come to Him. He says, what? He says, Christ died to save sinners, Paul would say at the end of his life, of whom I am chief. So we understand it is by grace alone. So many people, well, I'll do this after I stop this, after I stop drinking, after I stop sleeping around, after I stop cussing, after I stop being addicted to porn, after I stop doing these things, after I stop stealing, after I clean up my life. Come, that's not what the Bible says. It's by grace. It's by grace. It says by faith. It's by faith. By faith, I rest on Christ. I rest on His righteousness. This is the only way I can have a right standing before God. Let me help you a little something here. Raise your hand or help me say it if you know it. Now I lay me down to sleep. Anybody ever heard that one before? The Lord I pray. What's next? My soul to keep. If I should. The what? The Lord I pray, my soul to take. Isn't that a horrific thing to teach a child just for fun? Just by the way, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, Ali, if I should die before I wake, you know, kid sitting in there at 2 a.m., hand me another Jolt Cola. They don't make Jolt anymore, whatever, and Monster Drink. And, you know, sitting there. What an awful thing to teach children. But most all of you learned it as children, didn't you? You know what? That's about as unscriptural a little prayer as you can pray, isn't it? Now, pray if I should die. There's just no hope there, is there? No hope, right? If I could do a little better, we teach them to do what? Forgive me all my sins. All this kind of deal, right? Most people get way far afield here because they do what? I'm as right with God based upon how hard I've been working. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about relationship. I'm talking about standing. If I die before I wake, I cross my fingers and pray the Lord my soul to take because I'm not real sure, then my standing before God's not based on His finished work. And it's certainly not based on faith in Him. I have an acquaintance. He believes if you look at a woman and go hubba hubba and get hit by a bus, you die and go to hell. That's a tough way to live, isn't it? I have more than a few friends who believe I got to keep up with all my Hail Marys to try and avoid purgatory. So you're being really crazy controversial. You're starting to understand. 500 years ago, they drew a line in the sand and said, this is what the Bible says. It's about Christ. It's about His Word. It's about Christ's provision. It's about saving faith. And it is about all the glory going to God. It's about all the glory going to God. how you live should give God glory. How you work, how you turn a screw, how you dig a ditch, how you put a package on a shelf, how you ring somebody out. What you do, your vocation, your avocation, what you do for fun should bring honor and glory to God. We run that through the filter here, things we do. We want to do this to the honor and the glory of the Lord. I appreciate Joji so much. Joji knows two or three languages, two or three dialects and all, and she's practicing, learning songs in English and stuff because she wants to minister to us and all, and she does this for God's glory. You thank her, you'll embarrass her because she's trying to give everything to Him. We understand that in worship. I want to suggest to you, they thought it was for everything. It was for everything. For God alone. For God alone. Now, let me help you here. If you pause, you think about the religious landscape in America right now. We don't believe that anymore. We just don't. A great church. No. Great God. Well, that big preacher and all the books he's written and all the TV shows. No, you missed it again. It's about a great big God. It's about a great big God. Say, we appreciate Heart and Valley Church. Somebody says something. I say it because I need to say it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I don't want to ever say, thank you, boy, look at me. Look at us. I'll pass out all the compliments I can get, but I stand with the reformers that it is all about God, all about God. I want to focus on the scriptures. Why is this important here? I want to rattle them off. I got 10 minutes, and then we got to give some candy out to kids and all, and we got to pray for some people. If you're still with me, say amen. Say amen. Some of you are with me here. Number one, the Bible's inspired. The Bible is inspired. Stephen Lawson says in one of his books here, he says these are the things we must remember. These are things we must remember. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is inspired. What do you mean? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We read at the start. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every verse, every chapter, everything is breathed out. It is exactly what God wanted them to write according to their own character, own characteristics. It is alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, it is quick, it is alive, it is powerful. The Scripture gives life. Some of you come to church and you leave even though you're not a Christ follower and you feel better. That's because the Bible gives life to you. Gives life to you. You've taken some little devotional, guys, or maybe you got one of our through the year deals at the start, and you've been reading it. And when you read it, the Bible gives you life. Some of you, as you have your devotions on your tablet or your phone, you read a verse, and you feel strength because the Bible is alive and can make you alive. Why? Because it is inspired by God. It's inspired by God. It annoys me. Makes me mad. My tax dollars go to school. The first thing they do to freshmen in a philosophy class is say, the Bible's a bunch of hooey, and the Bible's a work of men. I got news for you. 40-some authors, 2,000 years, different country, different continents, different vocations, and you go from end to end, and it is internally consistent. It has been 99.6% of the copies agree. You can't find the Iliad and the Odyssey. You put two of them together, you get more divergent than that, even though those were limited, and you know they're written by one person. I could spend from now to 2 o'clock talking about the wonderful veracity of the Scripture and the internal consistency. I don't preach it because I have my fingers crossed. I have worked it out and I have studied it out. I have spent days and weeks looking at this, and I am as convinced as I've ever been that this book that you hold in your hand digitally or in paperback or in a leather volume is exactly given to us by God Himself. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's inerrant. God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Two immutable things. It's impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. The Bible is inerrant. The Bible is inerrant. It means, it means it was, what it says in truth. It says in truth, it is true. The Bible speaks about agriculture, it's true. If it speaks about astronomy, it's true. It speaks about Genesis, it's true. If it speaks about race, it's true. If it speaks about heaven, it's true. If it speaks about hell, it's true. What it says, and it is truthful. And you run into somebody and they'll go, well, doesn't the Bible say you're supposed to kill all gay people? Anybody get that one? Is it just me? The Bible's such a mean book. And I said, well, offer my Bible. I offer them even my phone. Just look it up. You tell me. That's what I was told. Didn't the Bible say? I'll read your book, you read mine. Nod your head if you think that's a pretty fair swap, amen. You read mine, I'll read yours. By the way, I probably already read yours. You read mine. And know what the Bible says. The Bible says truthfully. The Bible says truthfully. Number three, the Bible's infallible. I know these are some unusual words, but they help us, and they're rather than me putting out 12. It's infallible. The Bible says, excuse me, of the temple of God, the temple there in Jerusalem, that it would be destroyed and not one stone stand upon another. AD 70, the temple is destroyed, not one stone stood on another. The Bible said, one of the minor prophets prophesied, that the great walled city would be destroyed and that no stone would be there. And the stone city was destroyed and they needed a bridge. And so they took all the rubble from the city and they built a bridge and nothing was left there. What the Bible says will come to pass, has come to pass. Why? Because it cannot fail. It is absolutely positively infallible. Matthew 5:18. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle. Some of you that do have taken some Semitic languages or Sanskrit or things like that, or even you've seen some Hebrew. If you go to Brother Mel's house, Brother Strickland, he's got several things he brought back from Israel. And you can see that. It's just... It's hard to do it right with a pen. I mean, you almost need a italic kind of a device there. It makes a difference. Makes a difference in the quals and the different letters there and the verbs. Not one little thing. Not one little dash. Not one little segment. Not one little deal till everything written in this book will be fulfilled. Hey, you can bet your life on it. Let me help you here. You don't have to bet. You don't have to cross your fingers. You've got recorded historical evidence. What God has said to come to pass has come to pass. Let me speak to our skeptics here, watching and listening, some of you in the audience. Glassby's here. He can tell you. He goes in there and looks at them all the time. I've got at least 3 shelves. I probably have more than that. Books written to you, for you. I got them written on a teen level. I got them written on an adult level. Josh McDowell just put out a new book, The New Evidence, Man's Verdict. He updated for 2016, just released it. I'll be glad to help you with that. I've got world class, whatever it is. I want you to get this here. This is a big deal. This is under attack. When you watch Bill Nye, the Science Guy, who just put out a new unbelievably revulsive thing on Netflix, where he goes for the jugular of young people's hearts and minds. He attacks right here. The Bible is not infallible. By the way, the Bill Nye you watched as a kid or as a teenager is not the Bill Nye running around now. He is just as mean as he can be. John chapter 10, verse 35. If you called them gods in whom the world came, and the Scripture itself cannot be broken. Number 4, the Bible has authority. The Bible has authority. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It is God-breathed. And it has authority. It has authority. When we preach... If I'll preach God's word, I preach with God's authority. If you believe that, say amen. That's why it's a big deal for us to gather together. That's why it's a big deal we have our Bible classes and our studies. It's a big deal because it's God's word and it has authority on our lives. How many married people we got here? Again, if you got to look, you ain't married. How many almost married? Anybody newly married? Mr. and Mrs. Lawson. And I wonder how I'm supposed to treat my spouse. I got a book for you. The Bible. If you'll follow the Bible, you'll be okay. Up and down, sideways, you'll be okay. How am I supposed to rear my children? Am I supposed to go, whatever you want, honey? Long as you're happy. You know the helicopter sound now? I don't know if I was a helicopter parent or a horrible parent. I don't know. Jury's out on my kids. I'm still giving a good shot. Train up a child in ways he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. He won't be able to escape from what you've taught him. Benjamin Franklin said, spare the rod and spoil the child. That isn't in the Bible. The Bible said, he who loves his child reproves him oft times. The Bible tells us how to raise our children, rear our children. The Bible tells us how to live together. The Bible tells us our responsibility to each other and honor preferring one another before the Lord. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. But what? But a gathering together and so much more as you see the day approaching. Every day we live, we're closer to the return of Christ. Wait for it. And that ought to cause us to want to be together. Where do we get that from? Is it from a pastor who just wants to see the numbers increase? Baloney. It is because the Bible says this is important and it has authority over you and over me. Let me help you with something. Let me help you. Mm-hmm. Real fast. When I'm under God's authority, I have God's protection. Nod your head if you believe that. If my naughty-headed 14-year-old gets up in the middle of the night, decides he's going to go out and walk the streets, he leaves our locked house and goes out and gets hit, and gets run over, gets knocked in the head, God forbid something awful happens to him, let me help you. He didn't lack a trying on his mom and I's part. Nod your head if you follow me. Under our authority, he had our protection. He violated our authority, and what happened to him? He's on his own. God says this, and God's word says this, and we go do our own thing. Let me help you. It's really silly to go, God, you didn't protect me. And God said, I was protecting. You're the one ran off. You're the one took the left turn. You're the one out there. You're the one out walking the street in the middle of the night. You're the one got run over. You're the one got mugged. You're the one got hit. I'm trying to tell you that the Bible says it is authoritative. The Bible says it's clear. Matthew chapter 9, verse 19, verse 4. Have you not read? Here's the deal. These guys are on cable and all this kind of stuff. They said, you got to count the words there. And you got to look at this. And you got to do all these kind. You got to do all this weirdness. No, the Bible's clear. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. College is great, but you don't need college to understand that. The Bible was written to be understood. Say amen if you believe that. The Bible was written to be understood. The Bible's clear. The Bible's clear. Let me help you. I don't need a guy wearing a dress to read it to me. You don't need a guy wearing a tie. The Bible's clear, meant to be understood. I'm not picking fights here. I'm simply saying, number six, it's sufficient. Sufficient. I got 3 minutes. It's sufficient. The Bible has all I need. I need this, and I need this, and I need a bag of this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. No, the Bible's sufficient. The Bible's sufficient. I need to walk around. Circle in the prayer garden. I need to do yoga. I need to meditate and say om. I mean, I think a good fundraiser would be to me doing yoga in a pair of yoga pants. I think it'd be a good fundraiser if I didn't do yoga in a pair of yoga pants. I mean, I think we would raise more money. Some of you are going, just lost my lunch. Wait for it. Bible's sufficient. I like a film as good as anything. We've shown some here. Doesn't replace the Scripture. The Bible is sufficient. Let me help you. You go through your day, you go through your week, and you don't fall under any of those categories. You may say amen or yes to what I'm saying, but you don't live like it. The Bible's sufficient. Last ones, I'm really done. The Bible doesn't change. It's immutable. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about one of the problems right now with apologists for one of the problems right now for apologists. I'm in a hole up here. Excuse me. One of the problems for the apologists right now for the Muslims is that Surah 1 disagrees with Surah 7. And the part where they say, you know, let everybody live is different than 87 that says kill everybody who's an infidel and take them hostage and scare them all to death and behead them. They don't behead people. They kidnap They don't ransom them because they thought of the idea. It's in the Quran. And the guy says, well, this, and there's the word abrogates this. Let me help you with something. You can go Genesis 1 to Revelation 21. You don't have to abrogate a thing. It agrees. It doesn't change. I don't need to invent fancy ways of saying things. There are things that were prophesied and were fulfilled. There are things where we see them coming together and they see the things that are coming together. I'm not trying to duck anything. I'm just simply saying that the Bible changed. I don't worry about God going, well, you know, I really think this, or I've changed my mind about that, or the other. You hear people say that all the time about different issues. Well, we're just more advanced than that. We've just thought better of this, or this culture has changed. Culture may change. The Bible does not. Number 8, the Bible will never, ever, ever be defeated. It is the sword that is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged weapon. It is invincible. That we teach our children in junior church. I encourage you, parents and grandparents, to teach the scripture to children. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's invincible. It's a sword of the Lord. It's a sword of the Spirit of God. Finally, I'm done. It's final. What do you mean? Jude chapter 3, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Guy gets on TV, he says he's got a word from God. I hope all he means is he's been impressed to share something from the Bible. He says God talked to him, he has a real problem where the Bible says it's done. Say, once for all delivered to saints. If he really did get a word from God, we need to put it to the back of the Bible. See, that's me. No. That's the Bible. It's the Bible. Say, I got it. It's final. See, if I believe these things, I'm going to stand on the Bible. I got to live the Bible and I got to learn the Bible. So what does the Reformation mean to me? I got to stand on the Bible. You mean that everybody who doesn't confess Christ as Lord and Savior? Yeah. Why? Because it's what the Bible says. When you say Christ died for all men, for all have sinned, yeah, because that's the Bible. It's where I stand. I must live by the Bible. How many of you think hypocrisy is awful and terrible? I mean, I think it's hypocritical of Hollywood to call out people for being perverts and deviants when they've been making movies glorifying perverts and deviants for the last 30, 40 years, and now all of a sudden they decide they've got a conscience. How many of you think that's just hypocritical as it can be? No, I got to say and live the same thing. How many of you think I'm going to need God's help to do that? Third, I got to learn the Bible. We have four opportunities a week here. We're trying to start some other things. We've got books we want you to have. We've got resources we try and put online. I'll put some more of this stuff out there. But I must learn it. I must love it. See, I can't. Again, everybody who says that, they've got some hobby that requires expertise, and they can do more than they're doing. You can listen to the Bible as you're riding your car. You can listen to it as you're going around. You can listen to it as you're walking and working out. You can put it on while you're cooking dinner. You can do all these things. I can take in more of God's Word and listen to it and learn it and understand it, because I want to be close to the one who is the author of it. It is his book to me. It is his love letter to me. It tells me about him. It tells me how I came to be and tells me how things will wrap up. And it is God's holy word. And the reformer said, this is where we're going to stand. Guess what? 500 years later, this is absolutely, positively, where we're going to stand. By Scripture alone, by grace alone, by Christ alone, by faith alone, and for the glory of God alone. Pray with me. Father, it's unfortunate what I've said is so controversial. It costs these guys their lives. Some of them were martyred. Some of them were imprisoned for saying what I said today. There are books and edicts written saying that they did not enter into God's heaven because they disagreed with the official line. And Lord, I do. I hate it's controversial. I hate there are folks in here who have people and other belief systems. But I say without apology, it matters what you believe, and it matters how you believe it. Because that's what the Bible says. And here we stand, we can do no other. So help us, Father. Our heads are bowed just for a moment. You're here today, and you've got a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of the other. As you come to it this morning, you're going, you know, my faith is not in the work of Christ. My faith is not in the finished work of Christ. My hope is not in all these things. My hope is in, I just hope that, man, I make it. I hope that if I die, I'll be good enough. And that's just not good enough. Never has been. You may have been washed as